From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to Future Focus Now, giving you great conversations with great guests from Winston-Salem State University and beyond. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor, Elwood L. Robinson.
Welcome. Welcome to Future Focus Now. We're back and better than ever. We're back for a new season of great conversation with great guests. And we thank you for joining us and making us a part of your Tuesdays. We enjoy coming here and having these great conversations. I've been looking forward to this for a while. We took a hiatus during the summer, and we're glad to be back on campus. Campus is alive and well. We're thriving. The students are on campus. We're working extremely hard to keep everybody safe. The students are doing a great job. We know it's very difficult, but we want to do our best this year to make sure that we can provide each and every student with a wonderful experience. And with your help, we think we can make that happen. Thank you for joining us for tonight's Future Focus Now. My guest tonight, I'm excited about. I hope to be able to get through the hour. I hope to be able to get a word in. I mean, the very loquacious AD at Winston-Salem State University, Miss Etienne Thomas, is joining me tonight. We're so glad to have you, Madam AD. How you like that?
I love it, Chester. Love it. Thank you so much, sir.
The loquaciousness. You see that? You see how I threw that in?
Yes.
We're glad. We're glad to have you. It's an exciting time at the university. We're back on campus. I wanted to have you as my first guest because when we think about the college experience, we think about athletics, and there's a lot of excitement already in the air across the country. We've seen people start playing football. We've seen the fans back in the stands. We're still trying to manage all that, but it speaks to what the college experience is all about. That's why I wanted to have you on the show to kick off the new season. Before we do anything, though, like always, how you doing? How you doing? How's the family? How's everything?
Chancellor, I'm doing great. And again, thank you so much for having me this evening. It's always great. And it's an honor when I can come on Future Focus Now with you. But I'm wonderful. Anytime our student athletes are engaged in an activity, I'm doing wonderful. Cross country last weekend, the cheerleading squad, the powerhouse, was over at Wake Forest supporting the Red Sea of Sound. And then today I'm literally sitting at UNC Pembroke while our volleyball team finishes up their last match. I mean, it doesn't get any better than knowing this is game week and we're ready to do it all again, starting off with the football season this weekend. So I'm great. The family is doing great. It's a great day to be around.
Look, I appreciate that. I'm glad you're doing well. You know, when we think about where we are as a university and trying to kick off the season, we want to have a good season. And you just talked about all the things you've done so far. So when you signed your contract, did you know you had to do all of this?
You know, I had an idea, Chancellor, but there was that five-letter word that I didn't know about, which was COVID. Chancellor had no idea. Yeah. But to be able to be all these places and to support our student athletes, this is what it's all about. You know, the joy and excitement of seeing it all come together, knowing how hard they've been working, knowing the sacrifices that they've all made, that our coaches and our staff have made, and to now see them be able to get back out and compete. You know, they've done it in the classroom, Chancellor. We had over a 3.0 as a department last year.
Right.
They've done it in the classroom. We just couldn't quite get them to the competition surface. You know, softball and outdoor track, they went out there and represented for us in the spring, and we had to curtail them. So to see it all come together, it's exciting. So when I signed my contract, I had an idea as to what I was in for, and it's exceeded my expectations.
Well, one of the things that I've been so pleased about in terms of you as athletic director and your team, and that is the care that you've given to the student athletes and the concern that you have for them. Take us through what you do every day to try to keep these athletes safe and give us a sense of the spirit of the student athletes today.
Absolutely. Chance, I think they probably wish sometimes we didn't reach out to them as much as we do. Really just trying to stay connected. And I tell you, it starts with our coaches. Our coaches are really that glue that keeps the administration connected to our student athletes. But then our coaches, our head and assistant coaches and volunteer coaches, grad assistants, they're surrounded by a great support staff. So anybody will tell you when you work in college athletics that you keep your athletic trainers, your academic team and compliance as close to you as you can when you're not standing right next to your coaches. Why? Because our student athletes talk to those people in their vulnerable times. They have to work with those people to make sure they can get to the classroom, to graduation, to the field. And so really having that team that surrounds that core team of our coaches has really been key to our success. But we've got a special administrative staff that supports our head and assistant and volunteer coaches. And they are amazing in making sure that our coaches' needs are met. And therefore, with their needs being met, our student athletes have what they need. Do we have everything we need? Absolutely not. But we have the care and compassion for them as people. We truly see our student athletes at WSSU. And that was first and foremost for me, for my predecessors, and for those I have the pleasure of serving with, is that our student athletes know that we see them. They may not always get the answer they want. During these last 18 months, it has been challenging, but they know that we care from the text messages, from the things that we post on social media, from the reach out we do via phone and email. Even though students don't do a great job of reading their email, we still reach out. But then our coaches have gotten creative using Zoom as a platform to not just do workouts and have meetings, but to also have team building, to do scavenger hunts on campus, but then also for us to get into the community. And I think that group of student athletes that really speak on behalf of their peers is our student athlete advisory council, student athlete advisory committee. This year it's chaired by Anastasia Morrison, who is our starting pitcher on our softball team coming out of last year's campaign. And she, along with her colleagues on her executive board, have done an amazing job of staying connected to their fellow student athletes. Right now, they're talking about suicide prevention. They've held us accountable in this last year to make sure that we didn't miss a beat in making sure the student athletes' mental health and well-being needs were met, that their nutrition needs were met, and that they have everything that they need to be successful as students so they can be successful as student athletes. And so we've done a lot of those things in this last year, bringing in speakers and really trying to make sure that our student athletes have all the support we can give them.
That's special. It's about making sure that we have the care and we give them the attention they deserve. What do you say to parents who send their student athletes off to college and they're worried about, you know, COVID and so forth? You just did a good job in explaining, you know, how we take care of them. But what's your message to the parents?
One, I want to say thank you. Thank you for choosing WSSU as your first choice. And thank you for trusting us. We know we're an extension of you when you drop them off. We know that some of you will come visit more than others. Some of you have my phone number and you reach out and have good conversations. But we appreciate that because that means you're engaged. That means that you're holding us accountable. You're trusting us, but you want to trust but verify. And we appreciate that. But you also give us the opportunity and your young ram the opportunity to grow and learn and make some of the same mistakes that we all did. But we also understand COVID. So this year we had, you know, our annual parent and student athlete meetings as each ram was moved back onto campus. We talked to all the new parents and we let them ask questions and we share with them what our COVID protocol is. We're testing our rams 3 days a week to make sure they stay safe. We have great partners across campus in our student affairs team, that which includes housing and our residential life staff. It includes student health. We can't forget Lakeith and his staff over in Aramark, who have been an amazing team to make sure the needs of our student athletes are met, whether they're okay in their residence halls or whether they have to go to quarantine isolation because they're a close contact. Yep, again, might not have been a perfect process, but you've trusted us to, again, get it right. I actually had a parent and a student athlete stop me on my way out, on my way to come support the volleyball team today in the hallway. The parent just wanted to put a name with a face. He's former military. He makes sure that I know he's an Aggie, but he loves the Rams and he's going to make sure his donation is here, but he sent his baby here.
Yes.
And he wanted to make sure that we knew, even though at one point his child was a close contact, that he appreciates how we handled it. He appreciates, you know, the support that he received and that his daughter received. And that now she's back on campus and ready to go. That's what this is all about, is that the understanding from the parents and the partnership with the parents and the support.
Yeah. And it always, A.D. Thomas, there's a lot of excitement around Ram sports and our alumni. We have great alumni. And we're going to get into a couple of those signature games that are coming up in various sports pretty soon. But what can our fans hope for, and what give us a little taste of the excitement that may come out of this season?
Well, Chancellor, you know, I wouldn't be true red and sincere if I didn't always shout out our horns, Chancellor. I know you have one because you are a proud horn member, but I've got my horns pin on. Shout out to all of our horns out there. We're coming home. The Rams, the return of the Rams. We are coming back to Bowman Gray Stadium. We are coming back to Whitaker Gym. We're coming back to Gaines, and excited about being out on the track, on the tennis courts, the golf course, everywhere that we play, our softball field in the city. But we are open and ready to receive our fans. But we're also ready to be safe. So you've got to make sure you've got your mask. We want to make sure you're safe. We're going to ask you to wear your mask. But we're going to have a great time. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere for everybody to come back into Bowman Gray Stadium. I mean, we're going to just have a wonderful time while social distancing. We've got Mr. Dubose and our team on the creative side. They are just doing some amazing things with our interns. Like, we've got this creative group of interns that said, what else can we do for our fans? What can we give away? What kind of reverse raffle can we do to make sure that women's basketball can go up to Alaska? You know, we want to make sure that we can do those things and that our Ramily is able to celebrate with us. We're going to tailgate. Now, sometimes we might tailgate a little different, but we're going to tailgate. We're going to allow people to come in and do what we do. We're going to have our horns in Richardson Hospitality Room. We're going to have a good time, but we're also going to be safe. And we're also going to be understanding if we have to pivot at some point. So I don't want anyone to be concerned that anything is shutting down. We're not. We're continuing to go forward. We're ready to go. We're going to test so that we're prepared. And we're going to ask our fans to show up prepared as well. But we are coming to have a great time, Chancellor. We're putting in place some new things during the game, some new installations that will really engage our fans and give us a great opportunity. For those fans, you know, everybody comes for something. Some people come to watch the game. Some people are coming to watch the powerhouse of red and white. We know some people are coming to watch the Red Sea of Sound. Some people are just coming to say they were in the stands. They had on their swag and they were just in the place. And we understand that some people never come inside. They tailgate and they listen to us from outside or they watch the stream, and that's okay. Whichever way you show up as a Ram, we want you to do that this season.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that you just mentioned is I think where we find ourselves today, and we've had discussions about this among the leadership team, is this whole idea of being in a pandemic is not going to go away. This whole idea of the virus is not going to go away. There are always going to be mutations and different viruses. I believe that we live at a time in which we have to learn how to manage it. And it is all about having an experience and designing an experience where everybody can be safe. And that's what we're about. And that's what we're going to attempt to do. And as you mentioned, we are not going to be afraid to pivot. We're not going to be afraid to do something different. But for now, that's the mentality that we are approaching events and going forward. So we come to this year, A.D. Thomas, college athletics has changed drastically right before our eyes. And it means something for our student athletes. It means something for our parents. It means now they have to start looking at their student athletes different. A lot of things have happened. One of the major things that we've seen, and it's across all divisions, is name, image, and likeness. And I know that you have been part, and you've been involved in the NCAA for a long time. You watched this. I've watched this happen about 3 years ago, and I watch it build and build and build to where we are now. Give our audience a sense of what we're talking about with name, image, and likeness and how it impacts the student athlete today.
Chancellor, you know, I think back in the day, long before I was born, long before you were born, you think about in slave times, those things that were most important was your name. You know, who are you? You know, when people first had the right to vote, and they went to cast their ballot and all they could write was an X because maybe they were not literate. And what you had was your name. And now fast forward and think about student athletes. Until this year, they did not own the right to their name tied to their athletic ability. I can't imagine someone telling me that I couldn't be ATN Thomas, who can go out and do X, Y, and Z. And if someone wanted to compensate me for that, that they cannot. So it is a great opportunity for student athletes to be able to take advantage of that name, which they were born into, or whichever name they identify as. That is so critical and so important for them to be able to do that. And so I think we've moved the needle a little bit with NIL. We're not there. Right. I think about when I was in college and you first had EA Sports and, you know, it was fascinating for student athletes to go on the video game and they saw their name and they thought it was great. Nobody cared about getting paid for it. It was just neat until they realized somebody else was getting paid for it. So I need to be able to get paid for, you know, my name and who I represent. And when you think about what they call the arms race in college athletics, how much money institutions generate every year from our student athletes participating in sports, whether it's a revenue sport or whether it's an Olympic sport, whether it's a team you charge an admission fee for or not, schools are generating money of some sort. And so with NIL provisions now, we've given student athletes the right to capitalize on their own name, image, likeness tied to their athletic ability. So for clarity, if I had a business and I was selling t-shirts that just said, go swim or go Rams or WSSU or what have you, that was fine. But if I now had my picture on a shirt that said ATN Thomas, Rams softball student athlete, and I wanted to sell those shirts, I could not. That would not have been permissible previously. And so it makes a difference. So I could have a business, I could generate income, but when I tied my athletic ability to it, that is where NIL came into play. So I don't think we're all the way there yet. Right. We've gotten to the permissibility stage, but we're really still trying to figure it out. And as you look at the NCAA this fall, we're going to have that special constitutional convention to talk about the front part of the manual that most people don't even look at. They jump into bylaw 10 and they go from there, but they don't look at the front provisions. But that is really what guides us as an association, as we know. And as we go through that process and then we get to January to convention, I think we'll move NIL yet again. Yep. For me as an AD, I'm so excited that we have a couple student athletes who have had an opportunity to take advantage of NIL and have been approached by some entities to represent those entities. Because I wondered at the Division II level, I wondered for our female identifying student athletes if they would have that same opportunity, because it is a great opportunity, but I want to see it stretch across the landscape and not just be Division I and the FBS programs, but for it to really go across all of the divisions.
Yeah. And what are institutions doing to help the student, to protect the student, to inform the student about what his or her rights are and what they can and cannot do? What are colleges and universities doing in that space?
So every university is taking a different approach. Some universities are outsourcing it to a third party. The CIAA at some point will have a third party that will work with all of our institutions to help provide that guidance and also have a database where our student athletes can log in and we can chronicle all of that information. Presently, we have Ms. Sonia Hurt, our Hall of Fame softball student athlete, who is our associate AD for compliance. And then we have our assistant softball coach, Tiffany Massey, who is our compliance assistant. And together, in partnership with our coaches, they are making sure our student athletes, our coaches and staff stay educated about what those rights are, what we can and can't do, but also making sure we put together some programs for not only our student athletes, coaches, and staff, but also our donors, making sure they know what they can and can't do. A donor who owns a business that asks a student athlete to represent that business under NIL is different than a donor who just wants to hand a student athlete some cash and say, here you go, great job. So different dynamics and making sure that they're educated on what those do's and don'ts are. And so a lot of it comes down to PowerPoints and pushing information out on social media. We'll have information in all of the publications that we put out in our programs. It'll be on our website. You know, again, we can't do enough right now to make sure that they're educated, but also knowing that they can come in and ask the questions. But some of it is ever changing. So there's a very long Q&A document that has a lot of information, but then it changes. And so we want to make sure that we keep them current, but also make sure we ask the right questions as well.
Okay. And also know in terms of the NCAA, a lot of things came to light during this year, one of which happened at the NCAA tournament, issues around gender equity. And it was really highlighted when it was somewhat exposed that they were so different in terms of the facilities, in terms of the hotel, in terms of the food between, you know, the male athletes and the female athletes. And so it got us all thinking about the gender inequities that happen in sports. And I know you as a leader, you've also been very interested in motivating and being a catalyst for bringing about change, even in your position as an AD. There are not a lot of female ADs. Talk about your work in that space and what that uncovered for you and how you have responded to it.
Chancellor, you know, when you see a yoga mat and some chairs in a large room that is a ballroom, and that's called a weight room, and then you see another picture in another space that is a full weight room, like we were back on campus at the Power Five institution, that's disheartening. And it took a student athlete who was competing to say, this isn't right and this is not okay. And Chancellor, it's not any one person's fault that it occurred, but we didn't get that right. And we hadn't been getting it right for multiple years. It wasn't just this year, but it's been multiple years. And we have an opportunity to not only do better, but to really knock it out the park and do it correctly. But I would say to you also the same thing on our campuses. I have the pleasure of serving on the Women Leaders in College Sports Board of Directors. And that is the work that we do, is bringing that awareness to help move the needle forward when it comes to not only the presence of women in college athletics, in head coaching positions, in AD positions, in senior level administrator positions, conference commissioners, but also make sure that we make sure the opportunities are there for our female identifying student athletes. And we haven't gotten that right as an association. I'm sorry, the lights just went out in the room that I'm in, Chancellor. But in making sure that we get that right for our student athletes. So Coach Gray, our Associate AD, Senior Women Administrator, who's also our head softball coach, she does a lot of work in this same space, not only with our Student Athlete Advisory Committee, but also through softball. Coach LaTanya Lamont, our head women's basketball coach, she does as well. Although she doesn't know, our head volleyball coach, Coach Chanel Davis, I know that she has a blog and she does a lot of things in speaking about women and our role, but especially when it comes to higher ed and college athletics. So I'm thrilled to be serving with women on our staff who are moving in the same direction and trying to push the opportunities forward, but also holding us accountable. We don't have a softball field on campus, Chancellor. And that preceded you, it preceded me, but it's something that, you know, we've got to work on. You've been gracious in supporting us with fixing some of the challenges we had in locker rooms and making sure that all of our sport programs have the support they need when it comes to locker room. It seems like something small, but it's something so big when students can talk about that. You know, the powerhouse of red and white are part of who we are. They may not be an NCAA sport, but they're part of who we are as a co-ed team. And so making sure that our student athletes internally have the support, it aligns when they step outside of our doors at WSSU. When they go to CIAA championships, when we go to Division II national championships, I expect them to have the same resources and opportunities. But part of my job is to make sure that if we don't have those resources as an association, as a membership, as a conference, that then the voices are heard of those who don't have the platform to speak. And I think that's a lot of what you're seeing right now, is the student athletes are really leading the way. But not only are we listening, we're following their lead. We haven't taken the stature that they have to follow us. Because when we don't get it right and we're held accountable, it's important for us to follow those who are speaking up and then take the lead from them and be able to make the difference.
Oh, and that's so great. And I'm glad you're in that space, and I appreciate your leadership in the NCAA. One of the things that sports has always been sort of a unifying force in a community to get people to come together. And that's been no different in Winston-Salem and in this community. We did something this past weekend was very similar to that, and trying to create goodwill and bring people together. And that was when the Red Sea of Sound visited Wake Forest and performed at their opening game. Talk a little bit about what that was like and how that brings folks together, and a little bit about your relationship with Wake Forest and how we're trying to, you know, build bridges with that great organization as well.
Chancellor, you know, I consider it a privilege whenever we can partner with the Red Sea of Sound and Dr. Magruder under his leadership and go support them in that manner. And so when the powerhouse received the invitation and head coach Sheila Washington was able to take our team over there, even though we didn't get a chance to show up and show out at Bowman Gray, we had a chance to go across town and support our friends across the city. And to be able to do that was phenomenal. I had heard that we did that in a previous season. I wasn't here to see it, but to see it in action, to see the Red Sea of Sound and the powerhouse in the stands supporting Wake Forest University as they kicked off this season at home was really a testament to the city that we live in, Winston-Salem. I had an alum once tell me about the dash, and they told me, whenever you write Winston-Salem, don't leave out the dash because that means you include me. That means you remember me. And I'll never forget that because that's so critical. And for us to be able to go across town and support them, that's what, one, the inclusion is all about, but that's what partnership and support is about. From the time I arrived, John Curry has been reaching out and building that relationship, similar to what he did with George Knox prior to my arrival, and with James Dubose and the team here, and similar to what you and their president have done. And it has just been a wonderful relationship. And so to be able to walk onto the field for the coin toss with John Curry and our mayor was amazing. To know that we are part of that process of continuing to bridge the city, to have that partnership, is really those one in a million opportunities that you have. Our student athletes had the chance to show up and go out onto the field and participate on that stage. We had Rams in the stands that were there to support because Wake Forest University said, here are tickets. Please give them to your season ticket holders. We hope that they'll come and support the Red Sea of Sound and the powerhouse and cheer for Wake Forest as well. It was really a great opportunity to see the city come together, to walk in the parking lot and really be able to speak to people from throughout the city. Chancellor, those opportunities, they come along every now and again, but it really is a phenomenal opportunity for us to come together and show people how to do it and how to do it well and how to do it right. And that was really the mastermind of Mr. James Dubose and his colleagues and counterparts over at Wake Forest University, who got together to make sure that came to fruition in partnership with Dr. Magruder. So really a great opportunity. And John Curry and I have talked about some of those opportunities in the future. And one of his team members mentioned, hey, we got to get you over here for football. And James Dubose and I were like, all right, let's do it. So, you know, Chancellor, we're ready to do that and bring the teams back together again in that manner back in the stadium. So it was just a great opportunity, a great night for the Rams to be in the house. The almost 1,000 students that journeyed over there as well to support the Red Sea of Sound and the powerhouse. It was just a great evening.
It really was. And it speaks to this community. And it was just a great night. One of the things in terms of sitting in your seat and being AD at Winston-Salem State University, there's such a deep, rich history that's what's in terms of athletics at this university. And I want to talk about a couple of legends that are in the Ram family, that some amazing things have happened to them. They received some amazing honors because of their work in athletics and their association with Winston-Salem State. And I'm going to take these in order. I'm just going to let you kind of respond to what's happening to these individuals. The legendary coach, William Bill Hayes, is going to receive a significant honor very close to where you go to work every day. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure, Chancellor. I tell you, Coach Hayes reaches out on a regular basis to make sure that his Rams know that he is always there supporting. So for the city of Winston-Salem to recognize Coach William Bill Hayes in this manner and naming the field at Bowman Gray Stadium is phenomenal. Not just the WSSU did, but the city did. And to have Councilmember Scipio really lead the charge on that in partnership with our Ram alums, with the leadership of Donald Evans, who has definitely been in partnership, is amazing. So now when you come to Bowman Gray Stadium, you will see William Bill Hayes field. And so we are going to unveil officially and recognize Coach Hayes on the 25th at our Elizabeth City State Community Day game. I am so excited. He is such a humble person. When I called him after the meeting, you know, in true fashion, he was so humble. But I tell you, he is a living legend, and he is that giant, not only in college athletics, in higher ed, but also in the community and the impact that he has had on the lives of so many.
I mean, what a great testament to a legacy, a history at so many universities and so many Hall of Fames that he is part of. We're excited about, we're looking forward to the stadium football field being named after him. It's going to be a great day. So one of the things when I came as chancellor at Winston-Salem State and I had a chance to meet Earl Monroe, I mean, I was really in awe of him. You know, here you are, you're AD. This is Earl Monroe's alma mater. Now, Earl is being honored, not for basketball this time, but for education. And it's interesting because Earl came to Winston-Salem State University to become a teacher. And now we find in 2021 that there is a school that's going to be named after him that he's going to be a significant part of. Talk about that, but also talk about what it's like knowing that you have such a distinguished and accomplished individual in the history of Winston-Salem State University athletics.
Chancellor, I don't know who was more excited, myself or my father. I tell you, he said, Black Jesus. He was like, do you know? And I said, oh my goodness gracious. Chancellor, so the first time I had a chance to get on the phone, and Earl Monroe was on the other end, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Those are those, whoo, you feel the goosebumps moments, because I've watched him from afar. Yeah, I was a student in the CIAA, so I heard and I saw from a distance, but what an honor. That's that full circle moment for him to come in to what was a teacher's college and come here to study education and then now be honored in this way back at home. You know, that is amazing to have that honor. And I'm so excited for him to have that. But when I walk through the halls over at Whitaker, and then when I transition over to Gaines, which I never know which one I'm in when I'm down in the lower levels because it transitions. But to know that of the time that he spent here and building that legacy is amazing. At Winston-Salem State University, where I have the pleasure of serving, you know, last year, when we 2 years ago, when we won that championship, Chancellor, do you know pregame when he couldn't be here, he called the team and talked to the team and gave them a pregame speech on the phone. On the day of the championship. And I wasn't in the room, so I had to hear the stories of them looking at the phone like, is that really him? Is he really talking to us? I mean, and then they went out there and won a championship. Chancellor, that's legacy. And that's what this is all about. So to have Earl Monroe be recognized, not only for what he did as an athlete, but especially that student athlete component in this manner, that really speaks to that legacy and what this life is all about. And to have him be that representative of what it means to be a Ram is just amazing. I'm so excited for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll take one more, and we're just doing these three, and people will say, well, why not this person? We're only doing these three tonight because it happened so recently, and it's been in the past few months. So the last one we'll talk about is also a legend, and that's Tim Grant. And I can't say enough about Tim Grant. He still is such a major part of Winston-Salem State University. He serves on our foundation board. He is a sounding board when we have issues at the university. He's a problem solver when things don't go right at the university. And so he's still a major part. But the city decided to do something for him as well. So, I mean, legends, athletic, but now these great things are happening to them. Former director of Recreation and Parks Department is having Quarry Park named after him. It will be the Tim Grant Park. How cool is that? Tell us about Tim Grant.
Chancellor, you know, you meet those people that are like those whisperers that sometimes speak very softly, but then when they speak, you absolutely listen. You get out your pen and paper or your phone and you take notes. Tim Grant is that person. Tim Grant stays plugged in. You can walk in the game center and find him down there talking to our women's basketball coaches when they might be in there working on some plays. He'll show up at softball and he'll come just to connect. He'll show up over in the field house and he's coming over just to see how everyone is doing. He answers the phone when we call. Since I've been here, I know that I can pick up the phone at any time and call Tim Grant and get advice, get guidance, get historical data and information. We needed some film on some, when we were doing our Legends recognitions in the spring, we needed some film that nobody else had, but Tim Grant had it. So when people like Tim Grant are recognized, you know, one, you say, oh, it's long overdue, should have been done a long time ago. But then to be recognized in this manner is so profound for the city of Winston-Salem, and again, that city council to say, we are going to name Quarry Park after Tim Grant is amazing. I don't know if you know how much I love Quarry Park. It's actually my screensaver on Zoom. I love Quarry Park. So now I'll be able to write the Tim Grant Quarry Park on my screensaver. But it's such a phenomenal honor for such a great person and someone who is so humble to have worked with and served under and learned under the great C.E. Gaines, and to talk about that legacy and to him, his own right, have a legacy. It is tremendous. But he's such a humble person and really wants nothing but for the Rams to always be first class and to always have the best opportunities. And even when he needs to give us some advice to say, OK, let's try this, he does it in such a wonderful and first class way. So I'm so excited for this honor for him and looking forward to visiting the Tim Grant Quarry Park soon.
I mean, that's so amazing. I think about this conversation, A.D. Thomas. How many chancellors and A.D.s can sit around and have a conversation like that when in a span of about 5 to 7 minutes, we can talk about William, Bill Hayes, Earl Monroe, Tim Grant. That's truly amazing.
It is.
Yeah, to be there. So one of the things that the President of the United States does every year is he does sort of the State of the Union address. Take us through, you're here, year two as athletic director. What is the state of athletics at Winston-Salem State University?
Chancellor, you know, it's been an interesting 18 months, and I have loved every bit of it as we have moved through the process, but it's not been without its challenges. I arrived in January of 2020, and I arrived to a phenomenal staff. Phenomenal staff that at the time included George Knox as interim AD. And you know, throughout our conversations, I wanted to know, would George be here as I transition? Because that transition of knowledge is so important. I've known George for a long time, and his partnership was so critical. And then I arrived and I met a James Dubose and I met a Latia Hilliard Gray as we were building out that team. And at the time, we also had Tawana Harper-Gould and John Lavender, who served on our senior leadership team as well. And then our team started to transition at the same time that COVID arrived, and we had to evolve. We had some people in staffing that transitioned in and out, and it was challenging at times. And then we had to tell our student athletes to leave campus and that seasons would not be completed or seasons would not even be started. And that was not an easy task. Some of my toughest days, probably the toughest day I had, was standing at the University of Cal, PA, talking to the men's basketball team as the NCAA came to a screeching halt. You can't plan for those days and you can't predict them. But I tell you, it makes you better as a leader because you really have to pivot and plan for the unknown and be able to walk your team through that unknown. And I think we've done a solid job of doing just that. I came in, I had a plan. People ask me all the time, what's the plan? And I had to throw that plan out the window. And you realize that then COVID has had me pause to say, okay, we need a new plan. But a lot of our plan for so long was COVID. As we went through the summer months, it was all about COVID. At one point, James Dubose said to John Lavender and I, you all have got to stop talking about COVID. He said, I think you all are COVID out. And we were. We looked at each other. I was like, John, we talked 3 and 4 times a day about COVID. But our goal was to make sure that we stayed safe. And, you know, what James Dubose was reminding us was that, yep, COVID is important, but we're going to pivot and we're also going to continue to move forward. And so that was when we got back into planning mode. And I was able to sit down and look at, okay, what does that look like? So we started talking about E5. And I promise you, E5 had nothing to do with E for ATN. That E5 was really looking at those ways in which We support our student athletes and we make sure that we graduate champions. We educate our student athletes. We make sure they're empowered. We make sure that they're engaged. We equip them with tools for the present and for the future. And we make sure that we're excelling not only on the playing field, but especially in the classroom and in the community and as being people, as being citizens. So that E5 has really been a guide for me and that I've shared with our team and with our student athletes as we continue to move forward our athletics department. My goal is for us to be a national contender in Division II. CIAA championships, if people have heard me say, is that's expected. But to do that, we have to have the resources. So Chancellor, I shared with you recently, you know, when we talk about scholarships, you talk about $4 million a year in scholarships, puts us in position to consistently win championships because our coaches are in a position to consistently go out and find the best of the best. Now, in the UNC system, we have a 25% cap for out-of-state, but our coaches have done a phenomenal job of balancing that out with in-state and out-of-state. But the challenge comes when they see that blue-chip student-athlete who can contribute to WSSU and move us toward that goal, and we can't go after that student-athlete because we can't compete, because we don't have the scholarships to do so. With our infrastructure, being able to make sure every sport program has a locker room and that every locker room is befitting of a national contender student athlete. Yes. That is what we have to continue to make sure we put in place. And that's been part of our plan for this year. So in this 21-22 year, to make sure that we put those infrastructure pieces in place and not just that we patchwork them, but we truly put in place first class spaces for our student athletes and coaches to be proud of, to make sure that on our official visits, we don't bypass those spaces and that we're proud of those spaces, but that they're also safe spaces and spaces that we would find anywhere else that we go, to make sure that we have full-time coaches in position. We have two head coach positions that are still part-time in our men's golf program and our women's tennis program. We also have a part-time position in our head cheerleading coaching position, being able to move those into full-time positions. But this year we were able to accomplish getting an assistant coach in position for our volleyball program. We haven't had that in the last 2 years. Being able to put in position a compliance assistant, which was a position that we lost with people having opportunities elsewhere. That was very critical to our success moving forward. And now we're having to fill in our sports information director position. We have to be able to have a great front door for our program. And that comes with marketing. And that's under James Dubose's leadership, but he can't do it alone. And he can't do it with just the staff that we have in place. So making sure we put those pieces in place to make sure that our horns, not only do we grow, but that we're able to put in place an athletic program that is a sport program and an official club to put horns under that umbrella. Our horns annually help us make sure that we raise those scholarship dollars. We had a banner year last year exceeding our $300,000 mark. James Dubose and his leadership allowed us to do that. But this year, we're trying to exceed that number again. Make sure that we're exceeding our scholarship endowments. Make sure that our corporate sponsorships are continuing to grow. We've added new corporate sponsors every year. And this year, we've got to add those additional corporate sponsors, continuing to bring people on board in that space, making sure that not only are we at a 3.1 GPA overall, but that we continue to push towards that 3.5 that Provost Graham would like to see us hit. Our student athletes are doing the right things in the classroom, and we want to make sure that we continue to give them the support to do so. But in order to do that, we've got to start with our scholarships and making sure that we continue to move that needle. Our annual budget is 3.5. We're thankful to the students who pay the fees that allow us to have that budget. And we're thankful to Chancellor, to you and our executive staff for the support that we receive. But we have to continue to move forward, understanding that we are not a state-sponsored unit. We are a fee-supported unit, but everything that we need to do, we can't do at 3.5. We're thankful to the Rams that are stepping up in the last several days to say to Sonya Hurt, we want to make sure that our Rams have blazers to step off of, you know, our buses. That's important. It seems like something so minor, but if you look good, you feel good, you do well. And we want to make sure that our Rams show up and that they look the part and that they feel just like any other student athlete out there at any campus. I tell people all the time that in Winston-Salem, we have many universities, but we are the only university that bears the city's name. So we always have to lead from the front. I told Mr. Dubose today, I was driving to my workout this morning. And as I was driving, something that has been a pet peeve is that multiple universities have a billboard in our city. This is the Ram City. This morning I was driving down the highway.
Unacceptable, right?
It was right there. Did you see the Chancellor? It says the Rams. It says go Rams. And I was like, yes, that was at 5:15 this morning.
We have to have our own billboard, but we have to take other universities' billboards down. So you and I are going to go over and no. We're not going to do that. One of the most exciting things for fans and alumni is when you pick out that schedule and you see what's coming. Take our fans through, because there are some exciting things that are happening in athletics, particularly events, football and basketball, but across all of our sports as well. So, I just want to say to our fans out there, there's some exciting things happening, going to happen for in our athletics department. And so just wait for it and you'll see it's coming. But take us through some of those. Circle your calendar. You want to be a part of this event that's happening in our athletics program.
Absolutely. Chancellor, we're going to open up the football season this weekend at Catawba. And then the next weekend, we have a great opportunity. You know, the Rams, they remind us, they don't let us talk about it often, Chancellor, but we were born Eagles. And so for you and Coach Massey and I to take our Ramley and to go to O'Kelly Riddick Stadium, that's going to be amazing.
It doesn't get much better than that. Look, I have a brand new red jacket.
Yes. I told you, Chancellor, stay on the visitor side and make sure we're in red from head to toe. Because I told people we're coming to show up, get the win, and take the check home, because we need the check as well. But we need that win. So we're looking forward to going there on the 18th. And then we're going to come back home and we're going to celebrate Coach Hayes on the 25th with Elizabeth City State as we kick off our home opener. So you absolutely want to be there. And then, of course, we've got homecoming against Livingstone College, and we're going to be here on October 23rd. Then we're going to segue as we start to round that corner. You know, we're going to have Senior Day for volleyball, and we'll have Senior Day celebrations for cross country, and our cheerleaders are going to take us through the whole season. And then we're going to go back to Durham, and we're going to go see the Blue Devils.
Wow.
That's going to be great, because the fans had heard about it last year.
You mean the Duke Blue Devils?
Duke Blue Devils at Cameron Indoor. Like those tickets.
In Coach K's last year?
Last year, Chancellor.
Are we going to kick it off with an exhibition game?
Exhibition game.
Wow.
Yes. So amazing time. So looking forward to that. And then our women's basketball team is going to take us on some journeys. We're going to go up to App State. And then we're going to go to Alaska.
Wait. Alaska?
Alaska, Chancellor. So I've been. I don't know if you've been.
I've not been.
I love it. There are some animals in a zoo up in Alaska that I had never seen before. But to be able to go up there with women's basketball, and yes, we do need support in getting them there. So we're going to launch a reverse raffle and pull the prizes at homecoming to make sure they have the support to take the trip. But make no mistake. Our parents have let us know that they're there to support as well. So they're going to go to Alaska. And then men's basketball is going to bookend them. And so we're going to go from Alaska, and then we're going to go up to the Northeast to the Hall of Fame, to the Basketball Hall of Fame, thanks to the Chris Paul Family Foundation. And we are going to go up there and play in a tournament. Chancellor, I mean, we're just getting started. And that's just kicking us off. And the Rams can come support at all of these events.
So you know what? You know what's going to happen when people hear this? I mean, the checks are just going to start rolling in. I can see it now. $100,000.
$200,000. That's it.
Right?
Chancellor, that's it. That's it. Because they want to be part of the vision. They want to be part of what this year is going to be and what the future is going to hold. Absolutely. And then, of course, you know, we're going to round the corner. We're going to go on up to Baltimore.
to defend and win.
That's it.
To defend our men's basketball CIAA championship and to win
the women's.
Yes,
yes, right? Chancellor. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're coming home with both.
I got it.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's exciting. I mean, it's an exciting year. We're going to make it happen. We're going to work extremely hard to make it happen. One last thing, we're almost out of time, but one of the things that we talk about a lot at WSSU, no matter who you are as a student, that you want to have a great experience, a first-class experience, second to none for each and every student to come. We are unleashing the genius in our students. We call it the Brilliance Project because that's what we're doing. Tell our student athletes, we just signed an agreement with a signature partner, Adobe, that's going to do something very special for our student athletes that their parents and they need to know about. Talk a little bit about that that I shared with you a while back.
Absolutely, Chancellor. Adobe and a great partner. I love being an Adobe campus. I tell people all the time, we were the first HBCU to be an Adobe campus partner. And it has been amazing. I've got some Adobe tools that I didn't even know existed and that we're able to use every day, our student athletes as well. But now for them to be able to have an in-person paid internship next summer, strategically placed so that student athletes can attend without it interfering with their academics or their athletic participation is amazing. So some of them may go down to Atlanta and some of them may go out to the West, but they are going to have an in-person internship opportunity. And as we get more information, we will share that with our student athletes because it's going to be competitive.
Yes.
But it is a great opportunity. Did I say paid? Absolutely. Paid opportunity. Because, you know, Chance, we talk about volunteering and things like that. And I get that. But student athletes have bills, too. And they have life, too. So they want to get experience, but they need to be able to live. So it's great for Adobe to recognize that and to want a partner. And as they put together the team, I had a chance to meet with some of them via virtual space as well. And as they put together that team, they were intentional in having at least one member of that team that themselves is an HBCU former student athlete. That was awesome as well. So, you know, they're listening to the right people and getting the advice and the guidance. But for them to be intentional about student athletes is phenomenal because our student athletes can always compete for anything that's open to all students, but their time is different and they can't always balance the two. Although what I love about Division II is the make it yours philosophy and the life and the balance, it is still challenging to balance and integrate all those pieces all of the time, although our student athletes do it so well. So I'm excited about next summer, looking forward to getting more information and being able to roll that out and for our student athletes to represent WSSU in this manner.
Absolutely. I just wanted to get that in because I want student athletes to know, I want students to know when they come to Winston-Salem State University, that they're going to get a great experience. And even if you're a student athlete, you're still going to get a great experience. You're going to have an opportunity to get involved in those high impact practices. And that's what it's all about. And so, you know, I want to thank you for spending time with me. I know that you're ready to get back to the volleyball game or get on the road, but I thank you for taking time to be my very first guest today on the new season of Future Focus Now. You set the stage and you set the tone and now you're going to be a hard act to follow.
Right? Awesome. Well, Chancellor, thank you again for having me. And again, a shout out to Dick Christie here, who's allowing me to sit in his conference room before getting back on the road. I appreciate it. But Chancellor, always an honor and a pleasure to chat with you, and especially about our Rams and about WSSU athletics and our student athletes.
Yeah, we always say it's always a great day to be a Ram. And thank you for all you do as well. It's going to be a great season. Thank you for joining me tonight. And then, as always, we'll be back hopefully next week with another edition of Future Focus Now. Good night, everybody.
Good night.